World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Chad wants everybody to know it's his anniversary. I don't know why, but Chad, happy anniversary to you. Now the whole world knows. He's down there in Texas. He didn't even tell us how long, but I don't know whether he expects you guys to send him a card. I don't know what's going on. But happy anniversary to Chad and Michelle. And if I could sing a song to you, Chad, I'd sing a song to you this morning. Happy, 14th of March, 2018. Not making another one. I continue to be amazed by our listening audience. I heard the Hagman and Hagman last night. I don't know if this is true for us last night. Doug Hagman said last night, it was Doug, I think. At the beginning of the show, that when the YouTube was running or whatever, it tells you the number of listeners. The YouTube showed up and said there were 1,000 people listening. And most people pat themselves on the back and say, well, that's really, really good. But Doug said, Eric, the tech, their tech guy, Jared might understand this a little bit better. He said that Eric, the tech, was able to get into the back door of whatever that means, get in the back door. And that the number of live listeners was at least 10 times that, at least 10 times to what was showing up as the readings on YouTube. So with all the algorithms and all that kind of stuff, man, they're trying to criticize we're in a war. We're in an information war. And I know a lot of you followed the election in Pennsylvania, but see, I didn't follow the election in Pennsylvania because I'm not going to be directed by the mainstream media to go look at something that really, to me, is very, very insignificant. And the reason it's very, very insignificant is, I don't know if you guys have wakened up to this yet. Trump isn't a Republican. Okay. We see the Democrats and we see the Republicans, and they look like they're two different teams, but they're the same team. And then Trump's his own team. And so when they see local elections and the Democrat wins and it's a repudiation of Trump, no, it isn't. It's a repudiation of the status quo Republican Party. That's what it is. Now, that case isn't over, and they're going to do, Larry just said before we went on the air, something I think is really, really good to keep in mind. If it's so close that they have to do a recount, man, is it a chance to find some good voter fraud that we know is going on in every election in America. Here's what you have to see and it happened with Judge Roy Moore. The only elections they can steal are local ones or statewide ones. They can steal those. It's very, very hard for them to steal a national election because it requires so much corruption in so many different places. Like they never thought Wisconsin would be in play. They never thought Michigan would be in play. They never thought Pennsylvania would be in play when Trump won. And so their ability to be able to cheat enough in those elections to win, they couldn't do it. So what we're seeing right now with the, listen, don't, just turn off your TV, just turn off your TV, please. Turn off Fox News and CNN, just turn it all off. It's all a big game. It's all a big game, okay? And there are big things that are going on in the good old U.S. of A., and I'm happy to be part of it. And David Arthur's still here. He's upstairs. And we had a busy day yesterday. Listen, I'm just gonna say it, okay? Folks, listen, we helped David Arthur get a new vehicle yesterday. We did, he was gonna fly out to our event in Wisconsin, and he's frugal like everybody else, and the price of it, even though we were helping to get him out here, the price of it was higher than. He thought it was a ridiculous high price. He's a trooper, man. So he jumped in his car and drove from Maine to Wisconsin. Who knows how far that is? When he got to Wisconsin, Rob Pugh noticed his tire was about to come off. So David made that trip with lousy tires. Got him a couple new tires. And then he confided with me yesterday that, you know, or maybe it's 2 days ago, his vehicle was, you know, whatever it was. And I believe Dave, the Lord's going to begin to open up doors for David to be able to travel and get around. So we kind of bit the bullet yesterday. Jeff Klein, you guys don't know Jeff. I don't mean it that way, Jeff. Jeff's in here. Is he with us this morning? Yeah, Jeff's in here this morning. And Jeff has a car lot. Jeff is a used car salesman. Don't throw stuff at him. Don't throw stuff at him. Jeff's a used car salesman, has his own used car lot. So we went up yesterday and helped David get a car. David was paying about 26% interest because of his record. He's never had, you know, he doesn't really have a good track history with credit and all that kind of stuff. So can imagine what they're banging him on interest rates because he got really, he has bad credit. So they gave him, you know, he had to go to an agency that would give him some credit at a very high rate. So we eliminated all that for him. We set him free of that. Say, what are you saying, Coach? It'd be a great opportunity for some of you to donate to us because we just bought him a car. You could help us buy David a car. Okay? David has a new vehicle. I can't remember what it is. It's nice, man. It's a nice two. I don't know what it is.
It's a DeLorean, yep. Yeah.
What is it, Jeff?
Toyota 4Runner.
What did we get him, Jeff?
A Toyota 4Runner.
A Toyota 4Runner. The David can that he has. He has. It's got the third seat that lays down. But now he can take people with him when he travels. He can take equipment stuff with him when he travels. He had his other car just packed to the gills.
Wow.
And Jeff took his other car off of his hands, and Jeff didn't have to do that. Jeff paid off the debt. Jeff will put the car on his lot and try to sell it to recoup some of the investment that Jeff put into it. But we bit off a hunk for David yesterday. So those of you who really appreciate David and you really want to be able to invest in his ministry, we bought him a car. Could you help us? And I'll make sure David knows that you sent us some money. I don't have to tell you how much. It's not like 10 million. I mean, we didn't, but good time for you to get involved with. So David's going to leave here. He's going to speak at Pastor Bill Dunphy's church tomorrow night in Warsaw, Ohio. So if you guys are anywhere near that and you would like to hear it, he's at 6:30 tomorrow night at New Beginnings Church in Warsaw, Ohio. He's been here a couple, three days. We put the appeal out for other churches, but they don't want to have him. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Share with him the meeting we had at breakfast yesterday that he did get another speaking engagement.
You share it. What speaking engagement did he get? Maybe I missed something here, Jeffy.
Pastor Roger said Roger is going to have him into his church.
Yeah, hey, Jeff, let me tell you something. Huh? The meat's in the potatoes, or the potatoes are in the meat. You know what I'm saying? I get tired. I like Roger. I'm not making fun of Roger. When they book him and he shows up and speaks, then I'll cut the meat and thank you. We haven't picked up anything yet.
I'm gonna call him today and tell him, Pastor Roger, come down tomorrow night and bring your wife, and if you want to bring a few people, come on down and you'll get to hear everything tomorrow night.
Here's where I'm heading today, folks. Here's where I'm heading today. One of the things I asked you to pray about yesterday was we had the opportunity to get David into a public school in the Columbus area. I've kind of kept it under my hat, in a public school in the Columbus area to testify to some kids about the class is doing a unit on gender dysphoria. It's called, I won't tell you, because I don't want to bust out anybody here. But it's a class where they bring in all kinds of different beliefs. And I'm going to go today and speak. I'm going today and I'm going to go Friday. And I tried to let David go with me so he could tear down the lie of homosexuality. But the teacher was a bit hesitant. And I don't think there's any wrong with the teacher being hesitant, okay? I don't think so. He doesn't know David, doesn't know his background, doesn't know anything about it. But the thing about it that irritates me the most is that we are all programmed in this way, whether we realize it or not, we are all programmed this way that the biggest issue would be, well, we have to have someone to present the other side. Now, folks, I don't know what you think. If you're in public school, there's one side being presented. You're born that way. It's unchanging or immutable, and you can't do anything about it. That is one side. That is the only side taught in America's public schools. And the other side would be David coming in and saying, hey, I wasn't born that way. I came out of it. It's a behavior. It's a choice. You don't have to be that way. That is the other side. But really what's at work here, and I have great sympathy for the teacher. I'm not criticizing him at all. I'm not. Because if we go in there and we bring in David Arthur and he tears down all those kingdoms and he breaks down all those lies, all hell is going to break loose in that school system. The homos are going to call. The Christian parents who have kids that are homosexuals, they're going to call. The liberals are going to call. And it will be a firestorm like we ain't never seen. And it's not fair to put that teacher in that position.
Right.
If he's not willing and prepared to be able to defend it. So I swallowed hard, and I'm going to go today. And we're going to try to set up Jeff. You know, maybe we can do it later on. Same time, bring David back again. But see, again, hey, folks. David Arthur's telling us the truth. He came out of homosexuality. He came out of it. Why is that censored? Why do we have to come off a double probation and get everybody's approval up to the governor to allow him to come in and tell the truth? The other side, isn't that what the left is always talking about? Fair and balanced and give both sides of the argument?
They are liars.
Why? Well, of course they're liars, but what? I'm going to sneeze here. I'm sorry. And then I'm going to warn you that when I sneeze three times. So if I blow the screen down, I'll be back. This irritates me, see? This really irritates me. And this is, I'm not irritated at the teacher, okay? Because I dropped it on him the last moment. So I'm no hard feelings at all towards him. Really don't. I'll talk to him about it today. But you understand, these kids are being indoctrinated all day, every day, in the homos. They're being indoctrinated in it all the time.
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday. Second grade. They're introducing lesbians.
I'm gonna show you some more stuff here. I'm gonna show you some more stuff. So we know what. Hey, I'm gonna see how smart somebody is. So what is the other side of what's being taught in schools? Could somebody tell me what is the other side? See how smart you guys are.
Biblical.
What's the other side to being born that way, JR?
You are born that way.
Don't make this complicated. What's the other side to you're born this way and you can't do anything about it? What's the other side to that?
You choose.
You aren't born that way. You choose. Isn't that the other side?
Right.
Why can't we come and bring in the other side? And see, it happens on everything. It's called political correctness. And I can promise you this, the teacher at that school knows that he's going to get pushback even from the churches. He ain't no dummy. He's a great guy and a Christian and wants to bring the truth. But he knows what's going to happen if the truth shows up in that classroom. You say, well, if he's a Christian, he ought to tell the truth and take the consequences. Well, I would agree, but I can't force that on him.
Right. He's got to deal with it long after you guys.
He's going to have to deal with it on his own.
Right.
And he's a good man. But the point that I'm trying to make is, why can't we see this? Why can't we see that only one side is being presented? Because there's supposed to be, what, three speeches? So I fell into something yesterday that I want to fall back in here today. And that was yesterday I was talking about leftism. Also, David Arthur is joining us as a speaker at the Occupy conference. He's been scheduled in now as a speaker. His testimony is that good and it is that powerful. So we're excited to have him be part of that. And I'm going to do everything I can. We're going to do everything. This message needs to get out. It needs to get out. And I've watched David in his private moments. I know his faith is real. I know his conversion is real. I know it is. But he has, like so many other things, this is what we don't understand. The church doesn't understand this. The church doesn't understand redemption and conversion. Not really. Not really. Not really. And the church is sometimes the last, they're the first to talk about forgiveness and the last to actually forgive. Somebody say amen, because that was a good, that was a great line right there. Huh? And they're the first to talk about it and the last to actually do it. Okay. He's a new man in Christ. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He's a guy that actually knocks down the walls. He is so far outside the box that he is so far. I heard his testimony. I'm telling you, if I can figure out some way to have some sort of conference with him down here, I'm going to set people's hair on fire. Their heads are going to explode.
That's right. Well, and it has to happen, doesn't it? We have to come out from, we have, guys, we have to come out of this politically correct bubble. We have to push the envelope. And what I just said through the anointing of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. The church is the first one to talk about forgiveness and the last ones to actually do it.
Dude, I guess you got it in a nutshell, brother.
That's it, buddy. That is it. Yeah.
Coach, it's like yesterday morning. Ricky, my buddy that helps me run that car lot 6 days a week. I love him to death. Ricky's a good Christian man, but when I come in and said, Ricky, we're going to breakfast with David Arthur. Now, he hasn't met him yet. I've been telling him about him. The look I got from him was, he just looked at me real weird, and he said, I'll just stay here and watch the lot. Until you walked in that door and say, Ricky, are you going? Now, after Rick went, he hugged David and said, I love you, brother. When David left the parking lot. That was
We'll forgive a drunk. We'll forgive a drug addict. We'll forgive an adulterer. We'll forgive all kinds of things. Well, see, David's sin is still pretty perverse, isn't it? Pretty perverse. But I'm going to tell you something. He's a brand new creature. And there ain't anything he can do about what he's done in the past. Can't undo it.
Yep.
Can't. But he's a new creature in Christ. Yeah, Larry.
You know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't. But something about those satanic social clubs, those you're going to talk about? Yes, so everybody knows. Everybody else knows about those. So skip that part and get to what you want to say.
It's not the church that is the last, the first to mention and the last to forgive. It's those satanic social clubs that are.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. It is. Those places won't even let him in. I'm talking about people who are actually Christians are uncomfortable. People that I know that are Christians are uncomfortable. And it's something that we are going to have to deal with. It's like I said to, listen, guys, I don't think I've ever been mean to a homosexual in my life. I don't think I have. I have no hatred in my heart for them. No. Have I called names? When I'm out street preaching, I do whatever I can to pierce their heart. I have no problem with homosexuals. Are you, well, should I say this? No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Oh, I want to. See, the Holy Spirit checked me. And I can push my own will through and say it, but the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say that." So I'm not going to say that. I'm telling you this: is I've had David Arthur in our home since what? When did he come in here? Rolled in here Monday? What is today? Wednesday? Yep. I've been around him nonstop for a long time. Dude's genuine.
I'm with you, Coach. I have no problem with homosexual people having equal rights, even. But I do have a problem with them, special rights.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's where I'm trying to head today. And that's where I tiptoed into yesterday. Boy, thank you, Lord. Bring it to my remembrance. I feel like there's something else I'm supposed to be saying today. I can't remember what it is.
Hey, Coach.
Bring it to my memory, Coach. Lord. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to add something to this whole thing right now. With Ricky and different Christians sitting in the churches, they don't know how to deal with this stuff. That teacher in the high school doesn't know how to deal with it. They're going to ruin their lives, fire them from their job like John Freshwater. My buddy Ricky didn't know how to deal with this yesterday. He was leery of going with us. Then the other guy come to my car lot. You haven't heard this one yet. The guy that was praying for me and worrying about my anger there about a month ago from my old church. I met with him that day, and for 3 hours we sat down. And I changed his attitude on what's going on. He thanked me for the meeting. Well, guess who popped in the lot yesterday after David left? Frank and his wife. Frank and his wife, after I shared with him about David, Frank and his wife are making their own decision, not the church they go to. They are coming Thursday night to hear David Arthur.
Wow.
It was great. But we got to do it. Sidestep the pastors, reach them people, the ones we hang out with, and then we don't have to worry about the satanic churches. Reach the people and inform them.
That's right. That's right, Jeff. That's right.
I say we take the churches back. They're
okay, so we're getting away. We're getting away. I'm losing control. I'm losing control, Michelle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm losing control. I finished yesterday's show with something I think was pretty profound. In fact, the Lord worked on me all day yesterday. The whole idea that liberal and left are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Leftism, think about this. People would call somebody like me a fundamentalist. He's a right-wing fundamentalist. When's the last time you've heard them say left-wing fundamentalist? When's the last time you've ever heard them identify something as a left-wing fundamentalist? Now, please don't. Thank God Stephen Hawking's dead. Thank God. Is that not Dave? Yeah, Stephen Hawking, is that his name?
Yes.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I hope he found the Lord, but hey, he ain't an atheist anymore. Right? He ain't an atheist anymore.
He didn't find the Lord.
Yeah. Well, so good. I mean, I don't cry over it. I mean, I don't cry over it. Sorry. I don't. So if I'm a right-wing fundamentalist, what is a left-wing fundamentalist? Is there such thing as a left-wing fundamentalist?
Yeah, it's
all. Kind of, hang on now. Because, see, we have conservatives. And conservatives are okay people. And then we have liberals. And he's a liberal. And he's a liberal. And he's a progressive. And they're okay. When do you ever hear somebody say, oh, they're just left-wing fundamentalists? Do you ever hear that? Well, no. You don't hear about left-wing fundamentalists because those are the ones who are really and truly fighting the fight. That's really who we're fighting against. And what is it? You got the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And the seed of the serpent is left-wing fundamentalism, okay? Now, there are people who call themselves liberal who fall into that camp, just like you have people who call themselves Christians who fall into the Christian camp. And those of us who are Christians, who are really Christians, those of us who are right-wing fundamentalists, what do we say about those people who just go to church? Well, we say they're not really Christians. So for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And what are we seeing? That the people who call themselves liberals, the leftists are saying they're not really leftists. Are you catching what I'm serving up here? You understand what's going on? And so they've got us arguing over conservative and liberal. Boys and girls, that ain't the fight. The fight's over right-wing Christianity. And left-wing leftism. That's what it's called. Atheism. Left-wing, radical, fundamentalist, leftist. And believe it or not, radical, left-wing leftists are the ones we're fighting against in the government. They're not liberals. They're not liberals. They are the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent has seized power in America. And why has the seed of the serpent seized power in America? Because that big branch of people who call themselves conservatives ain't doing nothing because conservatism is pretend salt. Which leads me, Jared, to the first video I want you. I made this 5 years ago. And I just came across it this morning. Jared, it says, Coach Dave, pretend salt. It's a 6-minute video. This was made in 2013. So I want you to know I didn't just fall off of the turnip truck. But this is one of those videos. Hey, 21 more days I'm barred from Facebook. 21 more days before I can post anything. For those of you who think I died and went to hell or something, I'm still alive. I'm just not welcome on Facebook yet for 21 more days. So I can't post anything. Jared, play this. Coach Dave from 2013. Conservatism is pretend salt. I can't hear it. Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsReviews.tv giving you my opinion on things. Is that okay? It's okay if you have to sit there for a few minutes and listen to what I think. I want to tell you what I think of the greatest deception, not the greatest, but one of the greatest deceptions. One of the things that has killed us politically is this idea that all conservatives believe the same thing. No, 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 folks, listen. As part of that matrix, as part of that box they'd like to stick you in. Are you a, hey, listen, are you a conservative? Are you a liberal? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Hey, are you a libertarian? Or are you an anarchist? Hey, what do you believe about this? Are you a pro-life? Are you young? Are you old? See, all they do is divide and conquer. That is the way they put us inside the boxes. Oh, I told him, I wrote a commentary a couple years ago, made him mad when I said this about black Christians. I said, they're more black than they are Christian. Ooh, they didn't like hearing that. Yeah, but 96% of them voted for what I think to be one of the most non-Christian presidents we have ever seen in Barack Obama. Say, oh, Coach, you're sounding judgmental. No, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just doing what the Bible told me to do. I'm judging his fruit. I'm not judging him. I don't know where he is scripturally, but I can tell you this. I look at his fruit. It ain't Christian. He may be Christian. He may tell you he's Christian, but his fruit isn't Christian. And 96% of black Americans voted for a guy who's got rotten Christian fruit. It's okay for me to say that? Wants to kill babies, doesn't care about gay marriage, you voted for him because he's black? Yeah, call me a racist. That's okay. That don't matter. You shall know the truth, brother, and the truth shall make you free. See, here's what's happened to us, though. We've bought into this thing called conservatism, which is nothing more than pretend salt. You can find a commentary at newsreviews.com under my name that I wrote a few years ago called Pretend Salt. See, pretend salt is conservatism. See, Jesus said, why? We're the salt of the earth. We Christians, we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. But see, we've quit being Christian and we've become conservative. It's pretend salt. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Oh, it looks like salt. It may feel like salt. It may even sound like salt, but it's a sellout. It's a compromise. It's a cheap, run-of-the-mill counterfeit to the real thing. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. And he said this, if you're the salt of the earth, greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. How do I know this is real? Simple. Just go listen to one of those talking heads on TV that you think is so smart. Go listen to O'Reilly. Go ahead. Go listen to Karl Rove. How about this? Go listen to Dick Morris. And you'll find out that all of a sudden they begin to talk about fiscal conservatives and cultural conservatives and educational conservatives and, oh, I love this one, religious conservatives. And so what do? We go around and people ask, what are you? You say, oh, I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative. I am not a conservative. I'm a Christian. And I don't know about you. I look around at what I see in this culture, and I ain't really interested in conserving much of it at all. I believe it's time for a revolution or a revival or a reformation. I am not a conservative. Stop calling me that, and please. Stop calling yourself that. That's why I wear this cross hat. There's no doubt, everywhere I go, I wear it just about everywhere I go. It tells me a couple different things. Number one, I can't yell at the referees. I got a cross on top of my head. When I go watch a ball game, I got to behave. I'm standing in line at the grocery store. I get a lot of funny looks. People look at the hat. They get a funny look. That's all right. It identifies me as who I am. See, I could put a big C up there. I could put a big conservative up there, and then I'd fit in with everybody. But see, again, something about that name of Jesus and Christian, that's an automatic dividing line. And it's time those of us who really have received Christ as our Savior are no longer ashamed of the gospel, no longer ashamed to speak the truth. That's why I wear the hat. So listen, folks, it's time that we stop permitting them to co-opt Christianity,
to get every Christian, those white evangelical Christian voters, to vote conservative, to vote for John Boehner, Mitt Romney, John McCain. Conservatives. Conservatives. How's that working out for you, America? How's that working out for you? Next time you run into somebody, they say, what are you? Are you a conservative? You a Republican? What are you? Say, nope, nope. I'm like the coach. I'm a Christocrat. I'm a Christocrat. I vote my Christian barrels. Thanks. Coach Dave Dobb and I are here. So there you are, man. And see, so they've done the exact same thing with the liberals. And we have not understood that yet. And so what's happening is the devil's kids are the fundamental leftists. They're the ones that are in control of everything. Let me open it up here a little bit. I got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let me throw the door open here, Matt. Come on in.
Coach, I remember when you brought that out. I remember when you brought that out, and that was another nail in the coffin of God. You know what? I got to meet this Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer.
It's the truth, though, isn't it? That's where we are. That's where our team is. And see, the lefties are just as confused. The lefties, the liberals are just as confused, see. And the battle's not between the conservatives and the liberals. The battle is between the fundamental Christians and the fundamental leftists. That's where the battle lies. And the rest of us, we're fighting back and forth, calling ourselves conservatives and Republicans and Democrats and progressive. We're throwing all these other labels out there. When in fact the battle, the positions of power, thank you, Lord, the positions of power in the American government is seized and held by leftists. Why? Because Christians have been taught not to get involved. So the leftists are running everything. And there aren't many of them, see? That's the thing. They're in the minority. There aren't many of them. Somebody else tried to jump in. Come on in. I got some stuff to show you. No?
There's a Republican Nobody? Meeting today.
Uh-huh. What does that even mean, Republican? Go ahead.
I know. Anyway, I'm thinking of going to it and finally just stand up and say, look, stop it. Let's get a backbone. Please stop these things and what's happening. Stop just voting people in for power. Let's make this country great again.
Amen, brother. Amen. Because see, until we recognize the matrix that the box they put us in, we're not gonna be able to move out of it. Hey, Jared, as we continue to discuss here, go to Ezekiel 36 for me. Ezekiel 36. Somebody else want to jump in?
Hey, Coach, hold your peace. Go ahead.
Go.
Coach.
Yep.
With this Frank guy, as you played that video again, and I've seen that video years ago, with Frank, when I sit down with him, it was going to be just an hour lunch. It ended up being 3 hours, and we dug through the scripture. So I explained to him my side of the way I see it with 14 years of hanging out with Pastor Bill. So I went through everything from Ezekiel to on and on and on with the homosexuality, with we're to be the watchman on the wall. And this man teared up two or three times during that 3 hours. And he said, when we got done, he said, Jeff, I am so glad I sit down with you today. You opened my eyes to some things. Now, all of a sudden, instead of me, because I used to do the same thing, hammer that church he's going to, and it got me nowhere with these people. Now, Frank is going to go with me Thursday night to look, just to observe and understand more. So I'm like, hallelujah, Frank is going to go with me. Now, he's not worried about me being angry.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm proudly angry. I'm proudly angry. Anybody else want to jump in?
I got it. I want to be the so-called devil's advocate for just a second.
The devil don't need any help, Kevin.
Well, I know that. I know that. I want to throw something out there that I heard from.
Okay, do that, but don't be his advocate. He's got plenty of those.
A high-powered Houston attorney. He said that a bird has a left and a right wing.
Uh-huh.
It takes two wings to fly. So that made me think, because he could figure out pretty quick that I was a conservative at that time, but I wasn't a Christocrat.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he mean by that?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
What did he mean by what? The fact that... Ask the question.
It takes a left and a right wing to fly. A bird takes a left and a right wing to fly.
Yeah, but see, what he means is that the give and take is good. See, that's the point that he's trying to make to you. See, but it all depends on where you're heading.
Compromise.
It all depends on where you're heading, right?
Amen, so Jay. Right.
If you've got a left wing and a right wing, and only the left wing's flapping, you ain't going to be very good. And that left wing's been flapping a lot harder than the right wing. The right wing's been praying. The left wing's been flapping. And so where are we heading? We're heading left, right? And we got to start flapping. We got to start flapping, too. So it's all about compromise. That's exactly, J.R. is right. It's all about compromise. And we in the church, we got to wake up. We have to understand this. Again, from a biblical perspective, folks, this isn't political. It's spiritual. Seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the serpent's flapping.
Amen.
And the seed of the woman's praying.
Pacifist.
We got to pray and flap. Got to do both. I'm not mad. Yeah, I'm mad. Get my blood pressure going good here in the morning. It's good for me. Okay. Are you with me? You all with me? I told Jared to get to Ezekiel. Hang on there, Jared. I'm going to shift gears on you real quick. I have a tendency to do that. Jared, tear down that cross. I sent that to you. Tear down that cross. I'm just going to show you some things. It's just, folks, this is not being done by liberals. This is being done by the left. The right. God-hating. The federal court rules World War I memorial cross must be torn down.
Ridiculous.
Now, what's the date on this, Jared? What's the date on this? I mean, it's like 2 days ago. I mean, this isn't old. Okay, it is old. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. I thought it was fresh. But let's stay there a minute. Why? Why did they rule a year ago, year and a half ago, that this had to be torn down? Why? Because leftists have seized the courts. And they want to do away with every mention of Christianity. That's why they say it specifically. Because it represents Christianity. They say it specifically.
Hey, Coach.
Wait a minute. Group that believes in being good without God. They allege that the cross carries an inherently religious message and creates an unmistakable appearance of honoring only Christian service. And there they are. That's the left. That's not liberals. That's the left. Jared, click on one right below it. Todd Starnes. Yes, Vince.
Hey, just wanted to say, yeah, so they want to take down all of our crosses, but they want to put up satanic temples, you know, like the one they want to put up in New York.
So we better understand what's going on, right? So here we are, March 11th. This is a new one. School district bans Baptist chaplain from praying with the football team. See, they don't bar humanist teachings in public schools. They don't ban the teaching of sexual degeneracy in the schools. They only ban the opposite, the Christian perspective on it. We gotta wake up. This ain't liberals. This is leftists.
This is sadists.
Coach, does anybody?
And we got people in the middle supporting leftists, and they don't understand that they are. There are people in the church supporting leftists, fundamental leftists, and fundamental leftists made the decision they were going to destroy Christian America. And fundamental Christians or the right wing says that's okay. We're out of here anyway.
Hey, Coach. In that cross case, does anyone remember if it went beyond the federal court level? Did they take it to the Supreme Court, and what was the outcome there if they did?
Well, they must not have taken it to the Supreme Court. Or, Larry, as you know, the Supreme Court chooses whether or not they'll take the case. Hey, guys, there are leftists on the Supreme Court. They're leftists. Good. At the very best, they're conservatives. At the very best, they're conservatives. But everybody else is left. Leftists, not liberals. Leftists!
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a God-hating leftist.
Coach.
Kagan is a God-hating leftist.
Amen.
Sotomayor is a God-hating leftist. Name one open, bold, right-wing Christian sitting on the court. None! None! Because why? They tell us that Christianity is barred because it's a religion. Leftism is a religion!
Why are you wasting all the words? Just call them what they are. Satanists. That's what they are.
Well, they either serve the... They either... See, listen. I'm ran all of them a cord here.
Okay.
They hate... They hate Christ.
Yes, they do. And they've proven it. So why don't we got to show them that we win, brother.
And we won't fight! We won't fight. Hang on. I'm afraid I'm going to pull my cord. Somebody talk about why I get my cord straightened up.
Well, no, they're right. Right. We won't fight because we know that we win, but that's not how we win. We win.
No, Vince, we're taught we win in the end.
You know, it's wrong.
Let the devil have the world. We win in the end. Okay, I'm in Ezekiel 36. Well, I need 4 hours today. Hey, Jared. Just as soon as I said that, I got to do something else. Can I do that, Jared? Hey, Jared, go to Facebook and pedophilia. It's on that stuff I sent you. Facebook and pedophilia. Did you guys know this?
Oh, boy.
Facebook. Hey, what's the date on this thing? Why, March 5th. I was going to do this last week, and I didn't get a chance. Facebook asks, does pedophilia bother you? Facebook, which wants to give your kid a messaging app, actually asked past tense users if it would be okay for an adult man to ask a teenage girl for sexual photos. Folks, Facebook actually asked that. Why? Because they haven't destroyed enough morals yet. And so now we better listen to what David Arthur tells us, see. Pedophilia is the root of all the deviancy. That's where if they get the kids, they'll have them all screwed up.
Amen.
And Amen. We don't see it as sin, and we're not mad about it.
That's
and so we let them do it. And what do they get us? They get us, thank you, Lord Jesus, they get us arguing with Joy Behar. We get upset at Joy Behar, and we're not upset at Ruth Ginsburg, or Sotomayor, or we're not mad at the right people. So Facebook asks, "Is pedophilia?" See, the folks, they're on their way to legalizing pedophilia. Next one, Jared, go right down below. The cost of pedophile priests. You tell me. That the enemy hasn't infiltrated and tried to destroy all things righteous. Look at this. What's the date on this one? This one's old. December 6, 2017. Sex abuse has cost the U.S. Catholic Church nearly $3 billion. What has? Pedophilia. Pedophilia. So the left has found a soft spot in the Catholic Church. And they bored in deep, boys. They bored in deep. Now I'm going to make them really mad. Something abnormal about asking a man to give up his sexual life for the priesthood. And in my opinion, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. And so men who were guilt-ridden, this is me. Men who were guilt-ridden about their homosexual tendencies and homosexual feelings, thought maybe they could cover it by going into the priesthood, or maybe they could just religionize their feelings to death. And you can't, because the two greatest urges we have is to have sex and eat. It'd be better off telling priests, listen, you become a priest, you're not allowed to eat. That's what it's like. You ask him to do something that's unnatural. I've been trying to get this in for 4 days and haven't had a chance. Bust in if you want to, because we're going to go to Ezekiel here. Somebody want to bust in before we get there? Oh, Reese, you lost your tooth.
My daughter, yay! My daughter's granddaughter had a little tooth wobbling. She got rid of it. Yeah, good job, Reese. Get rid of that tooth. Anybody? Queen Ezekiel? Oh, man. I don't even know where to start. This is so good. This is so good. I'm going to say it one more time. This is so good. Jared, I want us to start, Lord. Let's start in verse 16. This is so good. I'm just going to try to read it without preaching at you. Okay, this is our word for the day. Hey, fellas, I still think the Lord wants righteous men to stand up and conquer evil. I still believe that in my heart. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know what the end time is going to be like. But I think ultimately that the Lord would love his men to stand up and fight. That's what I really, really believe.
Come on.
Even in my own heart, when I was a football coach, even if I knew the other team was better than we were, I would pride myself on the fact that our guys played hard to the end. Just keep playing hard, fellas. Can't always win. Just keep playing hard. And for whatever reason, see, we have now in the Christian community, in the Christian church, we have determined that winning is getting to heaven. I don't see it that way. I'm going to heaven. Win or lose, I'm going to heaven. The victory's in the fight and in the standing. And representing, and presenting my body a living sacrifice. That's the victory.
Amen.
That's the requirement. That's the duty. That's the victory. It's not about whether we win or whether we lose.
Exactly. And,
but see, we're not engaging in the battle because we think it's fruitless or, you know, you're fighting against God because the end's coming and the rapture's coming. And meantime, the leftists, the God haters, are rolling a freaking steamroller right over the top of us. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing. They are steamrolling us.
Hey, Coach.
You know,
I used to, when I had 10 working toes, I used to play handball. I was a fantastic handball player. I had a guy, a great friend of mine, but he's a cheater. And he would cheat if I let him get away with it. So, I loved it when I won, even when he cheated because it was the fight.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's me when I play golf. I use the foot wedge. I'm in verse 14 here. I'm in verse 14 here. I said 16. Guys, this is going to be kind of lengthy, but I want you to get the heart of this. Therefore, thou shalt devour men no more. See, every time I read a verse, I want to go back. I want to go to the one before that. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou, they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast to bereave the nations. Therefore, thou shalt devour men no more, and neither breathe the nations anymore, saith the Lord God. See, the Lord wants redemption. And the Lord says, neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore, and neither shalt thou cause thy nation to fall anymore, says the Lord God. Hey, folks, ask a question. Do you believe God blessed America? Do you believe God's blessing in his hand has been totally and completely removed from America? Is revival possible? Are you trapped in thinking we're living out pre-written history? It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And therefore, there ain't no sense pushing back. There's no sense fighting because it's just going to get worse. It's prophesied. Read it. Read the end times. End times are here. End times are coming. Well, this is the one. I change not. The Lord said, I change. I don't change.
Right. If he didn't change, then nothing else changed.
Moreover, the word of God came unto me saying, what did he say? I'm not going to cause thy nation to fall anymore, says the Lord God. And he says, and beyond that, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. What did it say? Son of man, when the house of Israel, the church, dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. And their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. He's talking about a nation that was once blessed. So therefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and the idols wherewith they had polluted it. The blood had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen and they were dispersed throughout the countries according to their way and according to their doings. And I judged them. When they entered into the heathen, Whither they went, they everywhere they went, they profaned my holy name. And when they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of this land. But I had pity for my holy name. See, it's about his name. It's not about America. It's not about the church. It's not about that. It's about his holy name. He said, I had pity because my name was attached to it. This is about my name, he said.
Amen.
Which the church profaned among the heathen everywhere they went. Therefore says, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen everywhere you went. It ain't about you, America. It ain't about you, church. It's about my name. My name that's above every name, and you've profaned it. And I'm going to step in, and I'm going to teach you all a lesson. You don't do that to my name. You might feel this, but me.
I feel you, brother.
Amen. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you've profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith God, when I shall be sanctified in you, right before them, in front of their stinking eyes. Amen. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will build unto your own land. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, from all of your idols, while I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Amen.
I could go on for 16 more verses. Go to 36. I'm going to finish up there. You need to go back in your spare time and read this. See, you guys don't think America can rise from the ashes. We don't believe that it can. Why? Well, read the Bible. Oh, man, we're doomed. You see what's going over there in Jerusalem? You see what's going on? Oh. Meantime, you keep putting money in the bank, saving up your 501k or 401k, whatever that is. You're storing up all kinds of riches, and at the same time, say you're leaving. Hey, if you're leaving, send me your riches, will you?
Huh.
Send them over here. Send them to me. Verse 35. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities, why, they've become fenced, protected, and they're inhabited again. And the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I'm going to do it. Thus said the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. And as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts show, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
See, I hear you. So, well, that's Old Testament. That's all done. Really? I change not, man. I change not. And I believe the Lord is raising up men. Why? Hey. You missed it. Why is he raising up men? Did anybody catch it? Why is he raising up men?
To sustain.
For his name's sake. Right. For his name's sake. Yeah, it ain't about anything other than his name's on it, baby.
Well, let his me tell you. Yeah, let me point out to everybody, too, that this scripture was written hundreds of years before the Son of God received the label of Jesus. We're not talking Jesus here, the five letters, J-E-S-U-S in the English language. We're talking the name, the very essence, the power, and the authority of who God is.
And we've lost it. We've lost it, see? We've lost it. We do not understand the power of a risen Christ even today. The churches don't want to hear David Arthur's story. The schools don't want to hear David Arthur's story. They want to believe death and doom and destruction. They want to believe woe is us, woe is me. When the Lord said, hey, I got some skin in this game, the Lord says, I got some skin in this. About my name's sake. And how my name is being profaned, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to set some things right. See, Coach, you're just taking it all out of context. Well, maybe I am. But I read this, and I think, you know what? He did it before. Maybe he'll do it again. But he won't do it again if you think it's the end. And my Bible tells me, work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. Now, folks, sun's coming up over the window. It's still shining. Why don't we work? And why don't we work to defend his name? Why don't we work for his name's sake? He calls me his own. He gave me the term Christian, even though that term was meant as a pejorative when they first did it. It's now become something other than that. He calls me by his name. And he said, won't you please defend my honor? Why is this so hard to get? A couple minutes left. Come on in, somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I talked with Pastor Bill last night on the way home from the lot, shared with him the day how it went, and I explained to him about the offer that I give David, that he can come to work at my car lot if he wants to move to Ohio. I will employ him because of what the Lord's done for that man. You know, and Pastor Bill, at the end of the
good.
When we ended the conversation, Pastor Bill said, good for you, brother. He said, you be of your father's business, and he will be of yours.
Amen.
That was it.
Amen. See, that David Arthur has crushed the devil under his feet. The Lord has made a show of him openly. David Arthur is exhibit A of the victory of Christ's name over darkness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
That's weird.
Because we're controlled by leftists. We're controlled by God haters and leftists, and the leftists own the schools, and leftists own the churches, and leftists own the government. Not the liberals! And we're trying to fight leftism with conservatism, and it ain't gonna work.
Well, we fight.
We gotta fight the devil with Christ. We right. can't fight the devil with republicanism.
Right. So we gotta call them Satanists. That's what they are. We shouldn't shy away from it. That's what they are.
What they are. What they are. Come on, I got a minute. Wrapping up. What have I forgotten here? What? I got 10 more things I wanted to talk about. Oh, don't miss tomorrow. Hey, by the way, I forgot this one. Hey, the Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate, Dan Fisher, is going to be with us on the 20th.
All right.
Yep. So we're going to talk to him. But I got a lot of good stuff to throw out there.
Quick one. Mike Pompeo has stopped the CIA from having an LGBTQIAEIO conference.
Yeah, amen. Good stuff going on. And I, again, see, people get mad at President Trump because they can't see with spirit eyes. Not that he's a righteous man, but they don't have eyes to see. They don't understand.
He's the right man.
He's the right man. Maybe not a righteous man. He's the right man.
Right.
The right man. Right man. What a time to be alive! What a time to be alive. I get to go to Columbus today and talk to 150 seniors about Christ and Christian values and Christian standards. You want to kick the devil in the teeth? You want to lift up the name of the Lord? Pray for me today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yesterday, brother.